conflict, the conflict of many of us might have that are looking at these images on the screen, and that video might hit you at home tonight because you realize those aren't just images, those are people. The conflict of many of the people that I've met amongst the adult industry that necessarily don't want to be doing what they're doing, but for some reason, the money or other things that they keep at it. And tonight, as we talk about this issue, it's a serious issue, an issue that I spent the last 7 years of my life working on. I met your Pastor Miles last week in San Diego at an NFL conference. And if you could tell, I'm not an NFL player. I'm not one of those boys that, you know, I'm not one of his guys that did that, but I think I could take him, but that's another thing. But no, it was just great time that we had in Carlsbad, being able to be with some of these players. And then he said, hey, come to my church and do what you just did on Sunday. So just blessed to be here with you all. All these services, just an amazing, amazing place. So thanks for having me. But well, thank you. So the issue with pornography, I mean, I'm 33, so when I was growing up, I didn't find it. I couldn't find it. I was 4'6" in sixth grade, so I couldn't reach the top rack on the liquor store magazine. And a friend of mine stole one once, and so I was lucky enough to see that. But there wasn't experiences that I had time and time again with this stuff. So I was barely around it. Actually, I graduated college in 96 without a personal computer. I didn't even have one in college. Those days are gone. I don't think you can get out of junior high without a computer these days. And I got into the ministry, met my wife, and I escaped what many of you are belonging to as part of this porn generation. People that have grown up around this. You see these images, you see these things, it's no big deal. I was dealing with youth, though. I was a youth pastor, and I noticed that common theme amongst them, that they were searched. They didn't even have to search for it. You don't have to work hard for this anymore. You have to work really tough to avoid it. You know, we used to have to look really hard to find it. Now you have to work really hard to avoid this because it's everywhere. So we had this idea, let's start something, not boycott, picket, shut down the industry. Let's try and offer people help. There's an AA group in every city in the United States. That if you struggle with gambling, if you struggle with other addictions, there's help for you. But what about those of us that have struggled with this issue? What about those people that haven't told a soul? Because the stats don't lie. About 76% of people look at porn all by themselves. So why don't we talk about it at church? I mean, we don't want to talk about this issue anywhere because this is a very private matter. This is an issue that most of us are dealing with ourselves, and we've never told anybody. The issues are pretty alarming these days. About 11 years old is the average age that someone sees porn now because of the internet. It's also one of the fastest growing addictions among senior citizens. Yeah, some of you should be a little freaked out on that. You've got senior citizens, you've got 11 years old. A third of the people that look at this are women. So we started a website unaware of all that. We thought this is just a young guy's problem. Little did we know the magnitude of this. There's 400 million pornographic web pages on the internet. 400 million. It's enormous. And obviously, there's other ways to get porn. There's still the seedy, you know, kind of part of town where you can get the adult-rated videos, magazines everywhere. But now you don't have to go there. You can go in the private of your room, your cell phone, your Xbox, your Wii. I mean, all these places that are hooked up to the internet, this is where it's available. And what we wanted to do with Triple X Church is offer people help. So we create this safe place online to tell people that you're not alone. I think Satan would love to trick us into thinking that you're the only one going through this when really you're not. A lot of times people say, well, what's the big deal with porn? Well, the big deal with porn is it isn't real. It's not what you're going to find in a real relationship. This is actually, if this has become your sex ed, this is going to hurt your future relationship because it's unrealistic. Most of the porn that's put out there is put out there for the men to enjoy. Obviously, there's some genres for women and this and that, but for most of the men, it's taught men that this is what women like. And yet there's no needs or feelings or emotions involved in this. It's all selfish. So you get into a real relationship, and the experts are saying that you don't even know how to handle a real relationship because it looks nothing like your porn. So instead of that real relationship, you'll opt for more and more porn. And if you're struggling with it tonight, you get the progressive nature of this. That what you looked at months ago, now you need much more. Maybe some of you are still struggling just online, but eventually it will take you offline. Eventually it will take you to places that I think you're not proud of, places that you never thought you would go. When I started this ministry 7 years ago, I didn't think we'd get letters from people in jail. I didn't think that every service today, as soon as I got off this stage, a woman met me and said, "This is why I'm divorced." Before I even got back to the back table and met countless and a number of other women that said, "This is the reason why I lost my husband." A lady crying after the last service saying, I don't want my life to be like this. This isn't what I signed up for. And we don't have those answers sometimes. But this is how devastating this issue is. We decided to launch our ministry at a porn convention. I mean, where else? I mean, if this is what we're actually trying to do, I found out about it through the radio, a guy named Howard Stern. So he was talking about how he was going to be there. And I thought, if he has every right to be there, why shouldn't we show up there? And the thought was, you can't blame the dark for being dark. You got to blame the light for not shining on the dark. And so we called him up. We called up the company that puts it on. It happens in Vegas every year. Porn industry people are smart. They run the show the same week as the Consumer Electronics Show. Well, yeah, because you have 100,000 people looking at Palm Pilots and Motorola cell phones or whatever they're looking at, Geek Gadgets kind of stuff, right next door in the same building as the porn show. And so they've got a built-in audience that's going to spend $75 to come over for a day and meet a porn star, get an autograph, and how pathetic it is. There's even an awards show at the end of the four-day convention for the sex industry, where these women write acceptance speeches for a trophy that says for best sex scene or best group sex scene or things that I can't even repeat in church that they get dressed up and they win an award for. My wife and I went last year to that show, and my wife and I were driving back to our hotel, and she said to me, Craig, no woman ever wanted that trophy. When they were 12, when they were on the swim team, when they were on a cheerleading team, when they won finals on the soccer team, ever thought in a million years at 18, 19, 20, they would get an award for the best sex scene in a video. And they didn't convince us with their acceptance speeches. It was just the most depressing, horrible thing to watch as these women just accepted an award for something that others wanted to make such a big deal about, but I've yet to meet one that said, this is what I wanted to do with my life. We decided to launch our ministry at this porn show. That was 2002. We had no idea what we're doing. We had a website. I was a youth pastor. We thought, we'll put together a website, go to Vegas, get kicked out of the show because we're Christians and they won't want us there, and then the website will run itself and we'll go back to youth ministry. And God had other plans. We get to the show, and I showed up there with my wife because I'm not stupid and she's not dumb, you know. Hey. I'm off to the porn show, you know, that's, all right, yeah, okay. No, it's not going to work that way. I remember we talked about it. We prayed about it. We said, what are we going to do here? My wife's scared to death. What do I have to say to these people? What do we know about this? And I just said, I think we're supposed to just go and have conversations, talk to people, and not hold signs that say you're going to hell or yell or fight or scream and just try and represent Jesus. They not only invited us back, they gave us a discount to come back. I don't get it. Christian discounts at porn shows. They don't advertise them like that. But there's a nonprofit rate at most places, even at the porn show. Even though all the other vendors are a for-profit company, they have a nonprofit rate. No one ever thought they'd take advantage of that, but we do. And we went to Vegas, and we simply told people, we know something that's better than this. And they looked at us like, what's better than this? And we said, it's a hope of heaven and a relationship with God. And I remember the guy from the LA show, because get this is a $70 billion a year industry worldwide, the sex industry. $12 billion of that is in the United States. If you break that down, that's larger than the revenues from the NBA, the NFL, Major League Baseball, and hockey combined. The Marriott Hotel, for instance, sells more porn than they do food and beverage. I mean, this is a huge industry. And so as we go into that show, we realize, wait, there's not just a show in Vegas. There's four porn shows in Australia. There's three all over Europe. There's one in New York. There's one in Miami over spring break. There's three in Los Angeles. There's one in Chicago. There's one, Toronto. Our team's actually in Australia right now. They're boarding a flight in a few minutes to come back from the Australian Sexpo, one of the largest shows there. And so what we realized quickly was, hey, there's some open doors here. And the guy from the LA show said to us, hey, would you come to my show? And we said, well, we don't have money. He said, well, we have a discount. And so we've been going back to these shows, some 29 shows in the last 7 years. And God's given us some just great chance to share his story. I want to show you this slide real quick. If you pull up this picture, that's a guy that I met at one of the shows. And here's what I don't understand about porn. Maybe you can understand this. 76% of people look at this by themselves, like I told you. Then when you go to one of these shows, why do they give you a bag this big? And I asked that guy, who knows you're here? I could tell by his badge he was with the electronic convention. So I was like, obviously no one knows you're here. What are you going to do with all this? And then it just dawned on him, like, yeah, what am I going to do? I can't, that's oversized luggage these days. But yet, here's what he's doing at the show. He's just dropping stuff in it as fast as he can. And I think a lot of us do the same thing in our lives. We don't think about the consequences. We don't think about how this is going to affect our spouse, our girlfriend, our boyfriend, our relationship with the Lord. And we just start grabbing stuff. And maybe it's not porn for you. Maybe it's other things that you're searching. But you know, as well as I do, they haven't fulfilled you. They haven't filled that void in your life. They've left you emptier than you've ever been. But yet we just think we need more and more of it. So we thought about this after 4 years ago in a conventions. We talk a lot about pornography with people. We thought, what could we put in that bag that would fulfill him long term, that would satisfy him longer than anything else in that room? We came up with this idea of, what about if we give out Bibles at a porn show? How cool would that be? If you hit this slide, that's our booth. And it might take you a second, because some of you, I know, it's like, I don't get it. No. But here's the thing. These girls especially have heard they're sexy. They've heard you're hot. They haven't been told that somebody loves them. And we stand there with a booth that says Jesus loves porn stars and 4,000 to 5,000 of these Bibles. And it's the most amazing thing to be able to see these people come up to you. First of all, they're a little kind of, well, what? And they go like this. Where the, and I say, there's no pictures. And then they go, okay, well, what is it? It's the Bible. What did you do to it? Nothing. Putting that on the cover was the hardest thing I ever did. I didn't mess with the inside. It's good as written, you know, and this is just a Bible. And people say, okay, well, can I have one? Yeah, we brought thousands of them because we believe that this has the answer to life's questions, to not just your porn struggle, that this is where the answer can be found. And I'll never forget this lady just a few months ago in New York at the show. She said to me, Craig, I grabbed one last night when you were gone. I said, well, we give them out. Why did you have to sneak one? They're free. She said, because I didn't know, I didn't want to talk yet. She came back, she says, can I have another one? I said, yeah, we're almost out, but here you go. And then she says, Craig, I started to cry last night when I started reading it. And I grew up in Christian school. I had to memorize the Bible passages for assignments for all through high school and junior high. And so sometimes I take this book for granted. And now I'm at a porn show at my booth talking about this. And I remember the power of God's word for the first time. And it's so refreshing to see this lady say, you know what, man, this I want one to give to her. And I mean, crazier things have happened, like getting invited to the gay porn show and being asked to bring Bibles to the gay porn show. So how odd is that? Because normally the Christians are outside anything gay related to say, you know what, we're against that, you're going to hell, this and that. And now the promoter met us, and after a couple years of seeing us around, he said, I have one condition. You come to my show, but don't run out of those Bibles. I was like, well, we always seem to run out. Bring enough. We go to the show, and he shares this email after the show. He says, hey, thanks for coming to the show. Your crew was incredibly friendly and welcoming and willing to speak with anyone and everyone. I can't believe, you know, we gave them stage time and a prime slot to promote your message. All eyes were on them, and I said to your guy, I'll give you the stage time as long as you don't get up and say God hates gays or anything like that. He quickly assured me that you guys weren't there with a message of saving our lost souls, but rather to spread God's love. That stuck with me because religious organizations preach that only God's the true judge, yet have no problem protesting a funeral of a murdered hate victim for being gay. I'd say that's the ultimate form of judgment. Your message that he loves everyone and the fact that your determination to spread the word in even what I'm sure was the craziest and weirdest event and location your crew has ever witnessed shows me that you guys are doing a great and selfless thing. I can't wait for you guys to come back next year. Please keep doing what you're doing. P.S. The gays thought your crew was adorable. Yeah, adorable. We loved them. It was a total shock to have a Bible handed to you in the middle of such debauchery. And I read it and I was like, for real? Like, did... Because I couldn't write that on my side and post that. We just went to the debauchery. And here's a guy who promotes the gay porn show for his job and understands what's going on and understands that there's something really cool about a little bit of light in a very dark place. Didn't need to hear that you're going to hell or this or that or I don't agree with what you're doing. That's another conversation probably for another time and somebody else to have. Our conversation was that there's a God that's desperately in love with you. And so we go back. We've seen porn stars leave the industry. We've seen a porn producer not only leave the industry, but give his life to the Lord. And he's starting to be a pastor, compete for my job now. But just an amazing just work that God's put on his life. And here's the reason why I want to share with you tonight. That's my story in 10 minutes of what's gone on in the last 7 years. I never thought I was qualified, still don't think I'm the right guy for the job, but this is something that I could never dreamed or imagined. In fact, God's word says he can do more than you could ever ask or imagine. You guys aren't lacking ideas here. You guys aren't lacking talent in this room. You're not lacking gifts and abilities and influence. The money, the resources, those things will figure itself out. It's not those things that I believe are holding us back. It's the sin in your life. It's some of this unconfessed stuff that's going on in your life that it says in Romans in a second when I read that keeps tripping you up, that keeps holding you back from doing what God has put you here to do. That's why when my wife says, oh, you're doing another porn talk, don't you get sick of talking about porn? And we have this conversation a lot of times because I'd be sick of this. After 7 years, it's been some of the most devastating things that we've seen. And if I only talked about porn with people, I think I'd be frustrated and want to give up. But what excites me to no end is seeing people start to remove some of this garbage out of their life and get on to experience what God says is a more abundant life. And that was, it's incredible to see what happens there. In fact, Paul says it like this in Romans 7, starting in verse 18. He talks about the struggle and the hope that he's found in Christ. Here's a guy that wrote half the New Testament, has an amazing experience with the Lord, but yet is still struggling with something. He says, I need something more, for I know the law, but I still can't keep it. And if the power of sin within me keeps sabotaging my best intentions, I obviously need help. I realize I don't have what it takes. I can will it, but I can't do it. I decide to do good, I don't do it. I decide not to do bad, and I do it anyways. My decisions, such as they are, don't result in actions. Something's gone deeply wrong within me, and it gets the better of me every time. It happens so often, it's predictable. The moment I decide to do good, sin is there to trip me up. I truly delight in God's commands, but it's pretty obvious not all of me joins in that delight. Part of me rebels, and when I least expect it, they take charge. I've tried everything. Nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there anyone that can help me? Isn't that the real question? The answer, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and he does. He acted to set things right in this life of contradictions where I want to serve God with all my heart and all my mind, but I'm pulled by the influence of sin to do something totally different. And let me just tell you that this evening, if that's you, it's okay. If you feel like tonight you're at the end of your rope, guess what? I think we've all been there at some point in our life, or we'll all be there eventually, where we just feel like, you know what? I just want to give up. I can't overcome this. I can't do this any longer. I mean, this is Paul writing, and he says, I can't find the answer. Who's going to free me from this life that's dominated by sin? And then he gets it. He says, thank God the answer is found in Jesus Christ our Lord. So whether we're at The Rock or whether we're at a porn show in Australia or we're in somebody's home, our message is just that simple, that the answer can only be found in Jesus. The first thing that I challenge you with tonight is that you got to give over this situation to God. No matter if anybody already knows about it in this room or this is a secret or this is something that you've never shared, you've got to understand that the Bible's clear on this, that you can't do this on your own. Some of you have tried to keep this from God. He knows the number of hairs that are on your head. He knows your thoughts before you think them. So, I mean, you're not fooling him or tricking him. I mean, he understands this. And he says, hey, I have something better for you, and I want to help you. My Holy Spirit is your helper. The next series is all about the Holy Spirit, and I'm sure Miles will have some great stuff on that. But the Holy Spirit is at your disposal. It dwells inside you if you're a follower of Christ. And it says that he wants to guide and direct your path. So he doesn't say that you'll never struggle again. He doesn't say that the temptation is going to be gone, but he does say that you don't have to do this on your own. And what I'm talking about is not a sin and confess pattern, because a lot of us have tried that too. We sin, then we pray, then we sin, then we confess, and it's just this kind of teeter-totter thing where, no, part of confession and giving this to God is being willing to turn in the opposite direction, being willing to say, God, I know this hurts you. I know that you have something better for me, and I need to head in the opposite direction the other way. Tonight, you've got to give this to God. You've got to just give up trying to carry all this around on your own. Second thing, talk to somebody else. And this is kind of where it gets quiet. Like, yeah, talk to somebody else. Well, that'd be nice if I had somebody else to talk to. Well, no, you've got to find somebody else that you can talk to. Church, and this isn't about just coming together here on Sunday nights and smiling and pretending that we've got stuff together. I mean, Jesus came for the sick, not the healthy. And I think sometimes we forget that this place is supposed to be a hospital, that there's broken people that we need to help. And if you're one of them here tonight, understand that you're not the only one. And we've got to stop thinking that we can do this on our own. I mean, I met a guy who lost 200 pounds. Not on The Biggest Loser. I mean, a guy that just did it on his own. I met someone that climbed herself out of just bankruptcies, foreclosures, all that. I met someone who quit smoking that day. I've never met in 7 years somebody that's gotten rid of a sexual addiction, pornography struggle, a battle with lust on their own. It doesn't happen. It's not going to happen. God's going to be God and do what only he can do, but he's placed you here tonight for a reason. He's put people around you in your life for a reason. We get so many emails to Triple X Church. Most of them are to info@triplexchurch.com. Not to Craig, not to other staff that we have. We have now five staff that work with us and a couple of interns. The info email is loaded because you don't want to write the guy from the TV and the screen here. You want it like info because we live in a world that has answers to all our issues in a matter of just seconds, or for $39, we can get things worked out. And so we get these crazy emails to info with people's life stories that they've never told anyone else. And then they ask at the bottom, please help me. We always write back and say, can you tell what you just told me, a complete stranger, not even addressed to a real person? Could you share that with somebody close to you? And the conversations 9 times out of 10 stop. And people say, I don't have somebody I can talk to. We got so frustrated with this that we developed something 4 years ago. It's called X3 Watch. Yeah, you can see right here, you can get it on x3watch.com or triplexchurch.com. Search for it online. You can find it just about anywhere. It's available for a PC and for a Mac, soon to be on a cell phone. And here's what it is. It's free accountability. It's not an end-all solution, but it's a very good start. What happens is you download it on your computer, and it's going to ask you for 2 email addresses. So for me, I put my wife. We've been married 10 years. We've known each other for almost 15 years. My best friend, Jake. He's a pastor in Northern California. I've known Jake since 8th grade. 2 closest people to me in my life. I put their email addresses down. Every 2 weeks from my computer comes an email to their computer that lists any questionable websites that I look at, along with the time and the date and the URL of that website. So now there's no secrets. We broaden what's in darkness out in a light, and something miraculous happens. When you know other people are going to check in or they're going to see what you're looking at, something changes. For me, my struggle is not pornography. It's seriously, after what I've seen amongst these shows, that the broken lives, I mean, people ask me, how do you do it? My friend Ryan, he's been talking to me forever about a show, and he says, I can never do it. He came to the show one day in Las Vegas back in January with me. He says, I don't know, man, I'm still just don't know how you do this. And then his world was rocked. He went up and he met a porn star that was across from us at the booth, and he shook her hand, and she says, hi, Ryan. And he realized she was in his youth group when he was a youth pastor in Phoenix. And he said, I know you do it now, Craig. But I don't know how you do it on the other level now on a whole different front because this stuff tears you apart. For me, my struggle is not necessarily that, but I have other things that trip me up. So 2 people in my life know about it, and they have permission now to talk to me about those things. So when Jake calls me, I get his X3 watch too. He'll go, hey, Craig, I got your X3 watch. And there's an awkward silent moment. Yeah. And I go, I got yours too. Go first. Yeah, we're good. And he's never had a question. But then he'll say, hey, so Craig, though, I was checking your website, and, you know, when have you been home lately? Have your kids and family been on the road with you? He'll ask me other things about, you know, my relationship with God, and am I spending time with him? And sometimes I don't want to answer those questions. No, Jake, it's been crazy, but I know I need to, and I gave him permission to ask me about those things. Guess what? We all need that. No matter who you are, how old you are, we all need somebody that has our back. We all need somebody else to, and here's what we get. We give the software away, and then people ask, well, where's your list of accountability partners? We give you the software, you find the accountability partners. That's how it works. Because I was in Montana last week, and I have 5 people from Montana that want to keep 5 people from San Diego accountable. No, I mean, it doesn't work like that. This has to cost you something. You have to see these people maybe face to face or know that when I call them, they're going to be disappointed because they love and care about me enough to actually sit down and call me out on some of these things. Maybe tonight, this is not even your struggle. Maybe tonight you're here because somebody else needs you. Somebody else is going to give you permission to get in their face. And when I say get in their face, I'm not talking about in the lobby afterwards going, hey, Jim, I saw your X3 watch report. Wow. You know, there's a time and a place for that. Maybe it's coffee before work saying, you know what, let's meet and talk about these things. People get on us all the time. Hey, your software is great, but I found a glitch in it. Yeah, sure you did. Okay, what is it? Well, you could turn it off. Yeah, go for it. Enjoy it. And we can't keep you accountable if you don't want it. You turn it off. I mean, we're not dumb. It sends an accountability email right to your partner saying you turned it off and the time that you did. So even if you're still on a PC and those things freeze up a lot, but it would be a little odd if you're like, oh, they froze every night at midnight. Kind of a coincidence. You know, you're better off just explaining what you looked at than lying about it because you've asked accountability in your life. So those are great things. Like I said, it's not an end-all solution. There's couple studies here that you can get involved in. There's a men's event happening tomorrow night at 6:30 in the cafe. That happens every Monday or every week. There's, I think, a couple meetings for men that are saying, hey, we're going to talk about these issues, and we're not going to let these things trip us up anymore. We're approaching almost 1 million people using X3 Watch. You know what? It's when I meet people like I did after the 5 o'clock service that says, you know what, Craig, this is working. It makes my day to know that this isn't that hard of a concept to grasp. It's a very difficult thing to bring in your life, but these are simple things. But what happens is you hear this, you'll go home, and it would be easier to have a conversation now than waiting till you get caught. But a lot of us, we're invincible. We're not going to get caught. You know, and now you're careless because you don't cover your tracks like you used to. This is progressive, so it's taking you to places that maybe you never thought you would go. And the Bible says that sin will find you out. And those conversations are going to be easier tonight to have than they are when you're sitting there and you get caught. The Bible says, confess your sin, you'll prosper. Conceal your sin, you will not prosper. Opposite of prosper, will not prosper. So don't wait any longer. It's not going to be easy. If you're going to have to tell your spouse things that is going to disappoint her or disappoint him, you're not going to be able to understand all those things. But let me tell you, it's easier than waiting till you lose it all. Like I said, we get letters from people in jail. We get letters from people that have lost everything. Talk to somebody tonight before you leave. Say, hey, you know what? I need to check in with you. Be looking on an email that's coming your way that gives you permission now to check in with me. Talk to God. Talk to somebody else. And finally, tonight, decide to clean it up. The Bible says it like this in 1 Corinthians, run away from sexual sin. No other sin affects the body. Why are we talking about this tonight? No other sin affects the body like this one. Run away from it. Well, how do you run away from it when you can't even turn on the TV without being inundated by this? You know, we live in a culture now that, I mean, Paris Hilton makes a porn tape. She's more popular than ever. High School Musical girl poses with no clothes on. It helps her career instead of hurting her career. We got shows like the Playboy Bunnies that live with Hefner as one of the most popular shows on TV. We can't drive up and down a lot of these streets without being inundated with this. How are we going to run away from it? It's going to be tough. There's going to be temptations. There's going to be things that come your way. But what's in your immediate sight? If you're struggling with a computer issue right now, and you're going to go back to that high-speed internet, you're going to go back to that with no accountability, it says in the Bible, a fool returns to his sin like a dog returns to its vomit. Proverbs 26:11. The only time a dog, if you have one, you'll know this. The only time a dog doesn't go back to it is when you physically remove it. For there's nothing to dog to do and go back to, or go in the backyard and do something else. You got to physically remove some of this stuff out of your life. Now, the stash of porn that's behind you, the maybe that's in the bedroom, the jump drive full of this stuff, the images in your history computer, on the history on your computer. Maybe it's a relationship that's going on at work that you need to end tomorrow. A friend of mine got caught. He was a police officer, and he said, when I got caught, I gave my wife my schedule and my checkbook. I don't leave the house without her knowing where I go and without more than five bucks on me. You can't get in a lot of trouble without time and money, and he says, I have neither. One of those things where you've got to be willing to make some sacrifices and clean it up. This guy came up to me after the talk a couple weeks ago, and he says, hey, when's it going to come out on cell phones, your software? So, man, we're fighting porn here, hopefully. I mean, we're more concerned about, you know, getting Bibles and reaching people. But, yeah, we'll get the software, but it's just it's been a task to be able to get this free software on cell phones. And I just looked at him, I was like, when are you going to get a new cell phone? And he actually said to me, I just got this one. No, I'm talking about a new, older cell phone, vintage, Nokia 50 style, you know? The one that doesn't fit in your pocket, it's not attached to your car, the one after that, that has the big antenna, it's got the one game with the space bar and the dots, and the little black dots, and you can't get more than four lives, so you can never win the game. It's frustrating, but there's no porn on it. And he said, I need this. I said, you don't need that. If you're looking at porn on your cell phone, you don't need that. Go get a new cell phone. And I just got frustrated, like, no, you've got to want this more than I want this. You've got to take these next steps because your relationships are worth it. Your relationship with God, the gifts and the talents and the things that I talked about earlier, those matter more than your struggle over here. And if you just got to realize you can't do this on your own. You can't keep living like you're living. Talk to God, talk to somebody else, and tonight decide to clean it up. I'll close with this. We're in Las Vegas last year for the trade show. And like I said, we've been all around the world with the porn shows, but Vegas we go back to every year because it's kind of the big show. It was last year that we were there, and I said to my wife and the team that was there, I said, what about if we stayed? Kind of went, what? Like at the porn show? No, what about if we stayed in Vegas? It's the trade show capital of the world. What about if we took what we've done here for 7 years at the porn show and did that at the electronics show, did that at the home builder show, did that at the SEMA auto parts show, did that at the magic show, and on and on and on. And because the same temptations and the thousands of prostitutes and the strip clubs and all those things attract all these tourists that come in for all these other conventions. So in August, we moved 12 of us from all across the United States over to Las Vegas to start something called the Strip Church right on the Las Vegas Strip that will be starting later this summer. But it was and at that show where we were able to just talk to several people. We decided, yeah, we're going to move there. And one of the things that happened to us was this reporter came up to us named Martin Bashir. He hosts the show Nightline on ABC. And he said to me, he said, Craig, I'm fascinated by your work, what you're doing. And we've gotten to become friends since then. He's just a great believer and an amazing guy. And he says, I want to cover what you're doing. And so he says, is it true, though, that you're friends with that guy? And over a couple booths around, he pointed to Ron Jeremy. And I was like, yeah, it's true. And then Martin's in his British accent's like, how you, I'm friends? And if you don't know who Ron is, besides the surreal life with Tammy Faye, he's really known for doing 2,000 X-rated films over a 30-year career. Almost the time I've been alive, he's been making porns. He holds a master's degree in special education, 6 years of education, another guy who never wanted to be a porn star, a guy who has claimed to have sex with 5,000 women over this career. He's the porn king, and I'm the porn pastor. Someone else said that, and so it stuck. And so this company in New York, 3 years ago, said, hey, you guys would be great together. You know, and what about if you traveled the country and did college events, you know, from Ohio State to Yale, you name it, all over the country, and we did something called the porn debate. And Ron says, oh, yeah, I'll debate Craig. I'll wipe the floor with his arguments. I said the same thing about him, and I said, it's on. So we started 3 years ago doing these debates. Thousands of kids show up to see him, but they have to listen to me. And then I help them out. The two-hour meet and greet afterwards, I end up taking photos of everybody. You know, here's your photo with Ron. And everyone goes, sorry, Pastor. Like, I go, I got two kids and a wife at home. I'm cool without your picture. But Ron, this is all he has. The applause of men, the fame, the notoriety. And so we debate on stage. I tell him why I don't like porn, that it doesn't empower the women that he holds up and says makes millions of dollars, that this is degrading, that this hurts people, that tears apart people. Then he defends it. Then kids ask his questions for about 70 minutes. Then we sign autographs, he signs autographs, I watch, and then we go to dinner. Then it's on. Then it's like, oh, then we get to be just friends and leave the discussion of porn on the table. And he gets to meet my wife. He gets to meet my dad. He gets to meet my friends who are pastors. I don't travel by myself, so I bring other people with me. And Ron's always like, why are these guys coming with you? Who are these people? And I say they're my friends, and I want to share them with you. And my mom freaked out when she says, Craig, what are you doing to my grandkids? You're taking them on a tour bus with this guy? And I said, Mom, if you knew the Ron that I know, that he loves kids. He would love to have his own kids. But he's been chasing after all this other stuff that he hasn't been able to do that. So Martin says to Ron, hey, what do you think of Craig? And Ron says, like he always says, I like him. He's not a hypocrite. He believes in what he's doing. And I'm glad he's at our shows. It's a good thing for our industry to have their team around. They're legit. Then he looks at me, and I'm hoping for that same thing, like, what do you think of Ron? So I could just say, hey, I don't like what he does for a living, but I care for this guy. I don't think it's an accident that God's placed me in his life. I don't think it's an accident that God's placed several Christians in this guy's life over the period of time. But instead, he looks at me, and he says, Craig, is Ron Jeremy going to get into heaven? It's like, what happened to, do you like Ron? And I looked at Ron, and I said, Ron, porn isn't going to keep you out. If you realize that hole in your heart, I said, we talked about the hole in your heart, and you told me that you wish your parents would have raised you more religious. You told me how you're so scared to die, and that Tammy Faye, your great friend that you had before her deathbed, she said, Ron, I'm not afraid to die, and you don't understand that, and you don't know how that can happen, and you want that. If you realize that hole in your heart could only be filled by God, there's nothing you could do that would make God love you any less. He just kind of put his head down and said, thanks. Thursday night, we're in Boston. I spent Monday through Friday with him. We did 3 debates across the East Coast. Thursday night in Boston, after the debate, he says to my friend who was with me, hey, tell him what Martin Bashir said to us about heaven. And I said, have you been thinking about it? He goes, yes, and I've come up with this conclusion. If I was to do that and give my life to the Lord and do that, we couldn't debate anymore. So I don't know. And I was like, for real, that's what we're talking about here. We're worried about debates. You know, we could come up with a number of other things to do together, and we started talking a little bit more, and we had that moment. And I don't know the day or the hour or if and when that's going to happen, but I know that God has a plan for his life, that God has something better for him. The same thing that I told Ron is what I want to leave you with tonight. You probably haven't done what he's done for 30 years of your life. Maybe you have. Maybe you've chased after the things that have left you empty. Regardless of that, there's nothing that you could do that would make God love you any less. You don't have to walk out of these doors discouraged. You don't have to walk out of these doors beat up and thinking that this is just your lot in life and this is just what you've become. You can walk out of these doors knowing that there's a God who is madly in love with you, who knows you by name and desperately wants something better for you. Go ahead and bow your heads with me. If that's you tonight, if you came here tonight and maybe you've been checking this out for a while, or maybe it's your first time and you're thinking, the simple message of Jesus, this message that Jesus loves me. When you saw on the screen the words, Jesus loves porn stars, maybe that hit you and you thought, if he loves porn stars, yes, he really must love me. Maybe that's the good news that you've been waiting all week to hear, that there's a God that loves you, that knows you, that is waiting. It says that he's standing at the door and he knocks. And if you open that door, he'll give you life and more abundant and everlasting life. A God that sent his son Jesus and lived a perfect life, died a brutal death some 2,000 years ago, hung on a cross, and 3 days later rose from the dead so that we might have life. And he says in his words that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you will be saved. You might still have questions. You might not have all of this figured out. But if you're ready tonight to take that next step, to give this over to God, to give your life over to God and say, God, I need you to be in control of things because I can't stay in control because my life's out of control. That God, I need your help. There's no magic prayer, but it says confess with your mouth. So there's something that I just ask you to say to God tonight, something like this. Say, dear God, I need Jesus. I thank you that he died on the cross for my sins. I believe you are who you said you are. I ask you into my life to be the Lord of my life. Please forgive me of my sins. Help me live this life that pleases you. If you prayed that tonight, with your heads bowed still, I'm going to give you a chance in a moment to make that next step, because we don't want you to keep that a secret. I think the Satan would love to keep this just quiet. But some of you don't know what to do next. Some of you have never picked up one of these Bibles. Some of you don't know these next steps or how to get plugged in, so we're going to encourage you to come down here in a moment. But before I do that, maybe there's a group of you tonight, and I bet there's many, that are caught up in a struggle, the fight of your life. Like Paul says, I don't know where to turn. And tonight, hopefully you're encouraged to hear that the answer can only be found in Christ. Maybe you have a relationship with God tonight and you just need prayer. Maybe you need to just talk to someone and have somebody just give you a hug and say it's going to be okay. Maybe you're a spouse and this is the reason why your partner left you. Maybe this is what has ruined up your relationships, your family, and maybe you're the one that is to blame for that, but maybe you're the one on the receiving end that just says, you know what, I need to talk to someone. I can't keep carrying this around. This isn't fair, and we don't have all the answers, but we want to connect you with people that will listen. Ultimately, a God that cares for you more than anything, that wants to help you. So I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to ask you to come forward, whether that's you for the first time or those of you that just say, you know what, I need some help. I need some prayer. I need to be encouraged. I need to get some things right. God, I pray right now that you would move in this room. God, I pray for boldness for those that have made a first-time decision for you or those that have made a decision to just give you control, give things back to you, be prayed for. A decision to just say, you know what, I'm not going to keep what happened to me in the past or the things that I'm struggling with a secret anymore. I need to do this now. I need to clean up some things in my life. So God, we love you. We thank you for what you're doing. And right now, with everyone's heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to ask the volunteers to come down here that want to meet you. And then anybody else that has prayed that prayer or anybody else that just says, you know what, I need some help. I need some encouragement. I'd ask you to come right now. Don't wait. Just come.